The Puritan poet Anne Bradstreet once wrote, "Wisdom without an inheritance is better than an inheritance without wisdom." Hi, I'm Rob West. As the baby boomer generation ages, it's estimated that they'll leave a tidal wave of wealth to their heirs, perhaps $68 trillion by 2030. But is the next generation ready for that wealth? We'll talk about it today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, you can tell that Anne Bradstreet read her Bible back in the 17th century. She was no doubt inspired by Ecclesiastes 7, 11, and 12, which reads, "Wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun. For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money, and the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it." So while boomers make the greatest wealth transfer in history, research shows they're not preparing the next generation to manage that inheritance. The investment giant Edward Jones recently published a study on this issue. It found that half of all Americans, or 48%, plan to leave an inheritance. Half will leave money and property to their children only, and 36% will leave assets to their children and grandchildren. That much is good, but the next set of numbers is troubling. The study also found that only 27% of Americans have talked about wealth transfer with their heirs-to-be, and another 35% actually said they don't plan to. That will leave millions of millennials and Gen Zers in the dark about the assets they'll inherit, many of them without the wisdom required to manage them. Experts say it's more important than ever for families to discuss wealth transfer and to seek professional guidance when necessary. Other factors come into play as well. While generational wealth transfer as a whole will be the highest ever, some future heirs may not receive as much as they expect. That's mainly because people are living longer. Boomers may consume more of the assets they've saved up than previous generations. That's due in large part to the ever-increasing cost of health care, which the elderly need more of. This is likely to affect how assets are passed along, and in fact, the same study found four different ways this may happen. The first is traditional giving. That's when parents simply pass along their assets to children, including cash, stocks, and real estate. Children need to ensure their parents are utilizing a sufficient amount of their assets to ensure a healthy lifestyle. In contrast, parents must start talking to their adult kids about transferring those assets. Another approach the study uncovered could be called giving while living. This is when the older generation helps the younger by paying for education, helping to purchase a home, and maybe even paying for vacations. The younger generation may wonder if there will be anything left to inherit and whether they'll have to support their parents financially in retirement. Having an early conversation about assets can alleviate those concerns. Another form of wealth transfer you may see more of is the generational skip, which is exactly what it sounds like. Boomers may elect to give their assets directly to grandchildren to help with education, to start a business, or to set up investment accounts. Here at FaithFi, we get many calls from folks wanting advice on how to help their grandchildren get started in the world. The Edward Jones study found that one out of four respondents believes their grandchildren will be better stewards than their children. Here, it's critical to have a money conversation with the children who are skipped over to avoid damaged relationships. Finally, some millennials and Gen Zers may find there's nothing left to inherit. Longer living spans may force the older generation to use up their assets, leaving little or nothing for the next generation. It's generally advised that retirees draw down only 4% a year to safeguard the principal of their investments, but for some, that may not be possible. So what's the solution? Well, boomers need to start talking to their adult children about wealth transfer. They must pass along the wisdom they've gained over the years that enabled them to acquire and keep wealth. Family conferences are great for this. You can even bring a financial advisor to MC the discussion. We recommend getting one with the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. One conference probably won't be enough because things change over time. The goal is to prepare your kids to be faithful stewards of whatever is left to them. They need to understand that God owns everything and they're expected to manage an inheritance wisely. They're expected to provide for their families and cheerfully give back to God. If you need help with this, we recommend connecting with a certified Kingdom Advisor, which you can do at faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Almost everyone prays, at least occasionally, but intentional prayer, daily devoted intercession, that is far less common. It's a spiritual discipline, and the prayer life of the Apostle Paul was marked by it. He opens up Colossians with these words, "We always thank God when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people." Paul was always praying for others, and he urged fellow believers to pray without ceasing, as he did, rejoicing in lifting up the concerns of others, asking for their faith to be strengthened. And prayer like that is a ministry with a far greater impact than we'll know this side of heaven. You'll get more daily encouragement for your walk with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
How much control, unfortunately, the executive office does have to direct a lot of these procedures in terms of amnesty, you know, what they can do, even though Congress needs to step it up. And we know constitutionally they should be making sure that the law reflects the American position. But law enforcement is the executive branch. And if you're not enforcing the law, then the law is merely just on paper.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're delighted to be coming to you from NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. We're still taking your calls and questions today, though, even as we're gathered here in Dallas, Texas. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation today, we're talking money, God's money, and your role as a manager or a steward of those resources. So whatever is on your mind, you can call right now, 800-525-7000. Taking your questions today live, 800-525-7000. We'd like to tackle whatever is on your mind, financially speaking, today, and we'll do that here in just a moment. In the news today, a renter searching for a better deal may need to shift their focus when evaluating properties. As of January, single-family home rental prices have surged about 41% since pre-pandemic levels, while multifamily rents have increased by 26%. That's according to a Zillow report. A surge in multifamily construction has helped stabilize apartment rents, leading some experts to call 2025 a renter's market. However, single-family rentals haven't seen the same increase in supply, keeping prices high due to a strong demand. Elevated mortgage rates are also keeping many potential buyers in the rental market. Multifamily rentals typically consist of multiple units within a building, whereas single-family rentals are standalone homes. The median rent for a single-family home in January was $2,179. Now, that's up 4.4% from a year ago, compared to $1,820 for multifamily units, a 2.7% increase. The gap between the two is now the widest since Zillow began tracking the data in 2015. For millennials, home ownership remains out of reach. The median first-time home buyer is now 38 years old, an all-time high, while the median renter age is 42. Many are turning to larger rentals to accommodate family life. Experts suggest that renters interested in single-family homes should maintain strong credit, of course, manage debt, and improve their debt-to-income ratio. Here's the bottom line. Let's make sure we don't get out of reach in the housing category. It's one of those three big budget busters: housing, transportation, and food. If something's going to derail your budget, it's most often going to be one of those three. The challenge is housing are the biggest numbers, and they're the hardest to unwind. So try to keep your housing expense, either a mortgage or a rent payment, between 25 and 30% of your take-home pay. That's going to ensure you have enough left for everything else. But the reality is it is a challenging housing market, especially if you're just entering the housing market for the first time. We no doubt realize that that can be difficult. All right, let's turn the corner and take your questions today on anything financial. The team is ready. Lines are open. You can call right now. 800-525-7000. Blake is in North Carolina. Go right ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have an annuity, and I just received the letter. I'm turning 73 in March, and it said that I needed to take my RMD yearly. So I've got some questions about it, whether to do that or whether to take a monthly payment from them, or even take it out and roll it over into something at my credit union.
Yes, very good. Yeah, so if your annuity is a qualified annuity, which it sounds like it is, that means it's held inside an IRA or another tax-deferred retirement account, then yes, at 73.
It's through National Life Group. Okay.
Yeah, so that's the insurance company. The question whether it's an annuity inside an IRA, and if they're telling you you have an RMD that's required, then it is. It's inside that qualified, what they call qualified environment. So it has to be withdrawn, but you do have some flexibility in what you do with it after you take it out. So you would take that withdrawal. The IRS mandates that you withdraw at least the RMD amount each year, and that's going to be taxed as ordinary income. Now, if the annuity is an IRA, you could direct up to $105,000 to a qualified charity tax-free and satisfy that required minimum, and then you would not pay tax on it. Once you have the money, you could reinvest it into a taxable account, or you could use it for other means, but you are going to have to take it out. Now, in terms of you converting that annuity to an income stream versus only taking just the required minimum, that's really going to come down to your income needs, you know, whether you really need that money on an ongoing basis to supplement other income sources. If you do not, then I would say let's just satisfy that required minimum distribution and either reinvest that, put it in savings, pay down debt, or if you were interested in giving it away charitably, that's where that qualified charitable distribution could come in, so long as that's an IRA that's inside the annuity environment.
So I need to find out if it is an IRA.
Yeah, so you would want to ask, is this an IRA annuity? If so, then you could look at the possibility of a qualified charitable distribution. Otherwise, you're going to take the withdrawal, and at that point, you just need to decide, do I only want to take the minimum each year to satisfy the IRS's required minimum, or do I go ahead and convert the annuity to an income stream and just let them send me a monthly check every month, which would certainly cover the required minimum, but probably end up paying you out over a 12-month period more than you would have to take And the question is just whether you really need that income source or whether you'd rather leave that money in the annuity and let it grow.
Well, I don't need it. I was planning on using it for my grandchildren.
Okay. Great. So you could just leave it there and only take the required minimum each year. And then the only question is, what do you do with it after you take it out? Assuming you're going to take the straight withdrawal and pay tax on it, you could just put it in savings. You could go ahead and give gifts to the kids now so they could start taking advantage of it before your death. You could invest it. You really have unlimited uses for it at this point. Beyond that, you could look at the qualified charitable distribution.
Okay. Well, so you think taking the RMD yearly would probably be better than just rolling it over into something at my credit union?
Yeah, I mean, so the rollover refers to keeping it in a qualified environment, and that's not an option. So the IRS is going to require that you take the withdrawal unless you do the qualified charitable distribution, but that would have to be in an IRA. Now, so typically what you're going to do is if you are going to take the withdrawal, at that point, you could do whatever you want with it. You could deposit it into a bank account and put it in CDs. You could give it to the grandkids. You could invest it in stocks and bonds. You really have unlimited options there, but you would not be able to do a rollover to keep it in a tax-deferred environment.
Okay, I got you. Well, I thank you so much for that information.
Absolutely.
I've not known what to do, so that makes it clear.
Okay, Blake, thank you for calling. Call anytime. May the Lord bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. This is Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Coming to you live from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention today. We will be taking more of your questions today. I know Chad is holding in Iowa and Grace is in Texas. We do have room for a few more questions. If you want to get in on the conversation today, we'd love for you to do that. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We will take more of your calls in the next segment. You know, we started today by talking about the great wealth transfer, talking inheritance. And, you know, the key question when it comes to inheritance and wealth transfer is this one. Is the next steward chosen and prepared? Because here's the reality. The last stewardship decision we will make is who will be the next steward of God's resources. And the key there is we want to pass wisdom before wealth if we're leaving it to heirs. Back with more after this.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're live from the convention floor of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention this week. It's been an incredible week gathering with media professionals from all over the globe, all focused on proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And AFA and AFR have been represented well here at the convention, and we're delighted we've been able to bring you this broadcast each day from the convention floor. We're taking your calls and questions. The number is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. All right, let's dive into some more questions. By the way, we have two lines open, so if you have a financial question today, call right now. We're going to go to Iowa next. Chad, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hey, Rob. Chad here, and I just want to say I really appreciate your show, first of all, and the spirit in which you guys do it. It's just you never belittle anybody, and just I think it's great. So thank you.
Well,
for
thank you, Chad. That means a lot.
Yeah. So I just had a question on long-term health care. We've contributed to it for about 20 years now, and we've change financial status in that time, and the rates keep going up, and it just doesn't seem like it's really worth it anymore. And I was just wondering if there's ever a time where we could just self-insure.
Yeah. So you've had the policy for 20 years, the long-term care insurance policy. You've been paying on it all this time. You've absorbed the premium increases like so many others have, because that's been pretty much a consistent a factor here with these long-term care insurance policies. But I also hear that you've reached your retirement savings goals. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And what is your age?
I'm 44.
Okay. You're 44. So when you say you've had the, so you got the long-term care insurance policy in your 20s?
We did. It was my wife. Her mom went into long-term health care when she was in her late 20s, and they said it was a chance my wife would also have that disease, and that has not been the case.
Thank you, Lord.
It was kind of, praise the Lord for good health. And so it was more of we did it because she was concerned about it, and I thought that's fine. We can afford it, and if that makes you a little more comfortable, we'll do it. And so,
yeah, that's great. Have you evaluated? I mean, these policies have changed quite a bit in the last 20 years. I mean, there's been a lot of movement in, you know, who the carriers are that are committed to this space. The policies are a lot more robust now. I mean, you've obviously got a lot put into this policy, and you could say, well, I don't have anything to show for it. And yet I would argue that you were offsetting a risk just based on everything you knew, given the family health history. I think that was a wise decision. Not only did that provide peace of mind, but it provided that financial assistance had you needed it at a time where you were still building your assets. So I think that was a good thing. So at this point, it's really not about how much have we spent in premiums all these years. It's really about what is the right planning decision for us in the future. And, you know, you're in your 40s. You know, I think what I would typically say is, you know, if you have a family history of long-term care needs, which you do, then that's where you'd want these policies. If you want to protect your estate from, you know, depleting your assets, that's where you'd want it. If you want more control over your care options, you want the ability to do private home care or something like that that would not be covered you know, by Medicaid if you got to that point, spent down your assets. And if you can comfortably afford the premiums, even if they increase, then I would say long-term care is a good thing. If you have enough assets, though, to cover 5+ years of out of care, out-of-pocket expenses, I mean, that would be, you know, probably $500,000 these days, and you're willing to rely on Medicaid if necessary, meaning if you've spent down your assets, and if you'd rather invest the premium payments and manage the risk yourself, well, then I would say it's probably a good idea to let this policy go. In either case, I would probably have a long-term care insurance agent who specializes in this area just evaluate whether or not this is still the best policy for you, because, you know, normally we tell folks to get look at long-term care based on those factors I just mentioned in their 50s and early 60s. And so obviously you're quite a bit younger for good reason, and you already explained that. But I would say at this point, it'd probably be worth, if you decide, yes, we'd like to continue to have the flexibility on our care options, we do have that family history, we do believe we can afford the premiums, I would at least evaluate whether you'd want to replace this policy with another one, perhaps with a different carrier that's going to give you a little bit better policy, because, again, so much has changed in the last 20 years. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Yeah, just good information to try and help make a decision, I guess. Our plan currently is unlimited, so it doesn't have a cap on it or anything like that. And so it's just,
okay.
I think they're trying to force people out of those. And
yeah, that's a good point. You may find that your legacy policy is quite a bit better than anything you could get today. So you may want to hang tight on that. How does this fit? I mean, with the premium increases that you have had and so forth, I mean, is it putting a strain on you financially? Or, I mean, how much are you spending per year on this thing?
So they just sent out the new rates, and I think for myself, I think it's a little over $6,000 a year they want, and my wife, it's $9,000. And then in the next 3 years, mine's going to $9,000, and hers is going to $14,000.
Wow, yeah.
And we have, like I say, our finances are more than enough to cover if each one of us went in long-term care for 5 or even more years.
Yeah.
And it's just,
boy,
is it really worth it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's worth seriously considering letting that go, just because, I mean, you're talking $25,000 a year between the two of you. And, you know, at that point, I mean, here you are in your mid-40s. I mean, you do that, $25,000 a year for the next, 40 years, you're going to have $1 million invested in this thing. So that's just a lot of money. I would say at this point, it sounds like you're on a track to be self-insured if you're not already there. So hang on the line. We'll talk a bit more. We'll be right back.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
This is the system we live in. And then Jesus walks into the midst of this system and he says, no, I don't want you to live like that in the downward pull of the world. I want you to live up here. Blessed are, and then he gives us all these qualities and he says, this is the life I want you to live in.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his message, How to Really Be Happy, on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider. And select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Every day, we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, live from NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention here in Dallas, Texas this year at the Gaylord Texan, taking your calls and questions. Before the break, we were talking to Chad in Iowa. In his 20s, he and his wife got a long-term care insurance policy because of some significant early long-term care needs that were in the family. And so because of that family health history, they picked up that policy for peace of mind and protection, specifically for Chad's wife, given the likelihood she would need that type of early long-term care. It served them well. By God's grace, she's been in good health, has not needed that. And now he's facing policy premiums that could run $25,000 a year. Well, they will, starting next year, between the two of them. And they're only in their mid-40s. Chad, how is her health today?
Really good. Yes, sir.
So there's not any prospect, I mean, by God's grace, and we don't know the next breath that we will take, but just based on everything you know, you don't have any reason to believe she'll need long-term care anytime soon.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. So I think, I mean, given the fact that you're going to be putting $100,000 into this every 4 years moving forward, and probably quicker than that with increases that will come in future years, I just don't see a reason, given the assets that you have, her health status. I mean, like I say, if you all, you know, don't have any need for long-term care between now and your mid-80s, I mean, you put $1 million into this thing with nothing to show for it. So I would say at this point, I would think seriously, unless there's something I'm missing, about letting this go.
Okay. No, I appreciate the information. And, no, it just helps curb any anxieties that we may have had, and you know, I appreciate it.
Absolutely. How does she feel about dropping it at this point?
She feels pretty good about it as well.
Okay. Okay.
She thinks it served its purpose, like you say, you know, give that peace of mind. And at this point, with our finances changing so much, she thinks she can let it go as well. So.
Okay, very good. Well, Chad, all the best to you, my friend. We appreciate your call today. Hey, stay on the line. I'd love to send you guys a gift. We'll send you the new copy of our magazine, Faithful Steward. I think it'll be an encouragement and a blessing to you, and we appreciate your kind remarks about the program, sir. God bless you. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Grace. You've been waiting patiently there. How can I serve you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Simple
yes, ma'am.
Question. I'm 75, and I have Social Security and pension, so altogether $4,300 per month. Do I have to pay taxes, continue to pay taxes? Because I hear that on Social Security we will not have taxes.
Yes, it's a great question. We do have to pay tax on Social Security if your total income exceeds certain thresholds. So the IRS uses a formula that's called combined income to determine whether your benefits are taxable and how much of your benefits. So to calculate combined income, it's your adjusted gross income, and your adjusted gross income, you know, would include pension income, IRA and 401k withdrawals, wages, self-employment income, dividends, interest, all that rolls in to your adjusted gross income. And then you add non-taxable interest, like municipal bond interest, and then a half of your Social Security benefits. So whatever your monthly benefit check is, half of that would be added in. So when you take your AGI plus one half of your Social Security benefits, if that exceeds a threshold, then that's when it becomes taxable. Do you file single or married filing jointly?
Single, and I have only, I don't have nothing except this pension and Social Security. $4,300 per month.
But $4,300 includes that includes 100% of your Social Security, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So what is your Social Security check amount?
$2,400.
Okay. So we're going to take $1,200 of that for your combined income, because we only count half of it. And then what is your pension income per month, roughly?
$1,900.
Okay. So between the two of those, you've got $3,100. And over a year, that'd be about $37,000. So a half of your Social Security plus your pension income. And you said your filing status is single. Is that right?
Single, correct. My husband died.
Yeah. Okay. So that's going to push you over the threshold for that. Is if you have more than $34,000 a year in combined income, which again is your AGI plus a half of your Social Security benefits, then 85% of your Social Security is taxable. And you are above that, because when I take half of your Social Security, $1,200, add it to your pension income, I'm coming up with roughly $37,000. That's more than $34,000, which means up to 85% of that Social Security is going to be taxable. So you are going to have taxes that you owe, and so I would get with a tax preparer to help you make sure you're in compliance and paying what you need to pay, okay?
So I have to pay taxes, right?
Yes, ma'am. On 85% of your Social Security benefits.
Right. You say a 34 threshold, and I am above 37. So unfortunately, I have to pay.
That's right. Yes, ma'am. I hope that was helpful to you. Thank you for calling today. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Nan. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
We have a trust, and we are rethinking what we are going to be leaving to our two kids.
Okay.
So what are some resources out there that I can avail myself to get advice, like pros and cons of leaving a large inheritance?
Yeah. I want to send you a book, Nan. It's called Splitting Heirs. It's by Ron Blue, one of my mentors and a phenomenal author on biblical finance. And I think it's the best book to help you think through not the legal mechanics of wealth transfer, but really the why before the how. And it helps you kind of consider, you know, some of the principles around, you know, doing your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. And the idea that, you know, if you love your kids equally, you will treat them uniquely. And just understanding some of the implications of leaving money to heirs and knowing that we've got to pass wisdom before wealth. And if the wealth outpaces the wisdom, we could be in a danger zone. And the wealth is going to propel those heirs further and faster in whatever direction they're running. And if that happens to be away from the Lord, or they don't have the financial maturity, that could be really disastrous. And I think it's worth, you know, we need to at least pray about it and just ask the Lord for some wisdom there as you make that decision. And to your point, it can change over time as you watch and see how, you know, they're maturing and how the Lord is working in their lives. So let's use this book as an opportunity for you and your husband to just spend some time over the next few weeks just thinking about the things that Ron shares in this book, and perhaps this will give you a little bit more confidence on where you need to go from here.
Yes, that sounds good.
Awesome. Well, let's do this. You hold the line, Nan, and we'll send you Splitting Heirs by Ron Blue. It's our gift to you just for being on the broadcast today. And call us back and let us know what you decide, okay?
Okay, I sure will. Thank you so much.
All right. You're very welcome. May the Lord bless you. Folks, you know, when it comes to wealth transfer, this is just such an important issue. In fact, we're going to be dealing with this in the next issue two of Faithful Steward, our new magazine. Gene McMains from the National Christian Foundation has just given a lot of great thought to this idea of leaving an inheritance that's a blessing and not a burden. Boy, what a big topic for us as Christ followers, thinking about the spiritual condition of our kids. Back with more questions after this. Call right now, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
It's hard to really have secrets from your spouse, especially when it's an eating disorder. Next time on Focus on the Family, David and Krista Dunham describe their years-long journey to control and overcome Krista's eating disorder. Learn how God intervened on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that his top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I wager that will be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything he won't, and then he does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got lines open. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000. Call right now, 800-525-7000. Whether it's your spending plan, reining in that spending, maybe it's wealth transfer, what we've spent a good bit of time talking about today, your investments, your debt management, maybe it's getting that credit score up. Whatever's on your mind today, give us a call, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. Sandy Dickinson is standing by to take your call right now. You know, we talked about this idea of wisdom over wealth. And, you know, we've got an article by John Cortinas in our first issue of Faithful Steward that dives into this passage in Ecclesiastes that I think really informs how we should think about wealth. He tells the story of three siblings. That this is not a fictitious story. He was actually knows this family, but each of the three siblings received roughly $1 million inheritance. One partied the funds away and wrecked his life. Another fretted the funds away slowly and didn't have many financial skills. But one prayerfully sought wisdom over wealth and had godly mentors and learned how to invest and give and finish college and launched a career and honored God with his life. Three people, three radically different outcomes. They each received the same wealth. But here's the reality that John points out is the factor that made the difference was wisdom. And this is what we see in the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, wisdom and wealth are both good things, but only one of them can preserve our life. If we want life, then we have to keep our wisdom ahead of our wealth. Now, think about this. You know, on the day that we're born, we have no wisdom at all. And as any parent will tell you, it takes a long while before we get any. However, we often have some level of wealth much more quickly. It's like a formula. You know, you think about it. Sometimes, you know, a financial inheritance makes this problem worse, because the formula is that if wealth is greater than wisdom, that increases or equals risk. But the opposite is true. If wisdom is ahead of wealth, if it's greater than wealth, that equals preservation. And so we have to, in order to obtain the preservation of wisdom, we have to ask, well, what is it? And it's not just a list of best practices or good ideas. It's both a perspective, but I would also say, and John points this out, it's a person. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul refers to Jesus as Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. You see, Paul explains that true divine wisdom had been revealed in the person of Jesus, the Son of God. And true wisdom is found in knowing him and obeying all that he taught. So the question is, do we know Christ, our Savior? Have we encountered wisdom himself? And that is the difference. And when we think about passing to our heirs, as a part of that, we need to consider whether we've done that wisdom transfer, that transfer of righteousness, because that far outpaces the wealth that we could ever leave to our kids. I hope that's a blessing to you. By the way, if you'd like to receive a copy of Faithful Steward each quarter, we'd love to send you our magazine when you become a FaithFi partner. Those that the ministry partners that support the ministry at $35 a month or more, they help us to reach more people with this message, which is just amazing because we can equip more people to be stewards of God's resources. And one of the ways we say thanks is to send you four copies of Faithful Steward a year and pre-releases of all of our studies and devotions. We'd love for you to check it out. Just go to faithfi.com and click give at the top of the page to learn more. All right, let's try to get to as many questions as we can before we round out the broadcast today. We're going to go to North Carolina. Andy, you're next up on the program, sir. Go ahead.
My father-in-law is a 77-year-old retired Vietnam vet. Not in the best of shape. He's had cancer two or three times. He purchased a house for $235,000 and asked that my wife and I, my wife is his daughter, take care of him the rest of his days, and that, you know, we would get the house when he passes away. However, the mortgage is a little over $1,500 a month, and I was told that there's some type of like mortgage insurance that would help pay for the house or something in the event that he passed away. I'm not sure. That's why I'm calling.
All right. You know, there is such a thing, although my typical recommendation is to get a term life insurance that would be paid to you at his death. It's typically going to be a little more cost effective. Now, it will have a term, and so it will, you know, run out at some point once you get to the end of the term, and then it will become cost prohibitive. But I think the idea is, you know, every year that mortgage balance is going down and would be less of a risk. Are you all intending to keep it at his passing? Are you trying to keep it in the family at that point?
Yeah. That's what we want to do, keep the house.
Okay. Yeah. And what is his age at this point?
77.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, it's going to be pretty expensive at this point, any type of insurance that you get, just given his age. I mean, can you get a term policy at age 77? It's possible, but it's going to be pretty cost prohibitive. So I think at this point, you know, your best option is just to essentially, you know, refinance the home, essentially take out a new mortgage in your name when he passes. And hopefully the balance is quite a bit lower, because the Lord, you know, still has him here with us for quite a while. But once he calls him home, you know, you are going to either have to pay off that mortgage or get a new mortgage yourself. I think the challenge you're going to face is, you know, it's going to be a pretty expensive policy, just given his age, for you to have enough death benefit to cover it. Now, one option might be you get a small policy, because although you guys can't afford $1,500 a month, you know, you can't afford $750. And so maybe you get a 10-year term policy for half of the mortgage value or something like that. So it's not an all or none option, first. But secondly, what it may come down to is you may just decide, it's not worth it, or we can't afford to have this kind of policy, just given the premiums we would face, and therefore, you know, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to keep it in the family, and so we'll, you know, just have to sell it and take the proceeds and do something else with it. But the policy you'd want to look at if you want to consider any insurance at all would just be a straight term policy on his life payable to you.
Okay. Thank you very, very much.
All right. You're welcome. We appreciate your call today. Lord bless you. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Todd. How can we help?
Good morning, Rob. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, sir. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Rob, I'm 67 in reasonably good health, but what I'm looking at, other than just personal assets to give, we have six children, and my wife and I, we don't have a lot of financial wealth, stocks, money, stuff like that, but we do have a piece of property that we live on that's worth $175,000, $200,000. We were thinking that we would just, after everything's all said and done, to and no family member needs the home, to sell the home and divide it equally among the six children and do that.
Yes.
What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. You know, I mean, we're talking about, you know, you've Lord's blessed you with a big family. That's amazing. You know, let's say that property continues to appreciate in value, and you guys end up, you know, dividing that, or it's sold and divided six ways, which you could specify in your will. That would be a blessing of around $35,000 for each child, which could be amazing. And it would be something they would be grateful for. They could use it to pay down debt or invest for the future. I think that's a great idea, unless the Lord leads you otherwise. I think that's fabulous.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I've been listening. I'm new to your show, but I really, really love it. God bless you and keep up the good work.
All right. I appreciate it. I'm glad you found us, and I'm delighted to be able to serve you each day. Let me mention, you know, there is something called a TOD deed, which would allow that property to transfer outside of probate. However, I'm looking here. Yeah, you're in Alabama. Unfortunately, they don't allow TOD deeds. So your options to pass that effectively to the kids would just be to make sure you have a good and current valid will. And then it would go through probate. There'd be a little bit of expense and time there, but it shouldn't be much, especially if it's a simple estate. The other option is to put it into a trust. But that's going to run you $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000, and I just don't know that that's necessary, given your situation. I think the big idea of what you're considering here makes a lot of sense. Todd, thanks for being on the program today, sir. Quickly to Louisiana, Cedric, you'll be our final caller. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I want to know, what is it about the cheap small homes or the tiny homes in existence, and the 8 to 10,000? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's very real possibility that, you know, that you, what you're seeing there is legitimate. You know, these tiny homes, you know, have some pros and cons. Obviously, the pros are lower cost of living, lower utility costs, minimal maintenance, you know, so that's a good thing. I think you just need to understand, first of all, what are you getting into? Is it, you know, something that could be resold? Or are you going to kind of be stuck with it? And does it meet your needs? Because obviously, you know, even though it's, you know, very, very cost effective, you need to make sure that you can deal with the space limitations. You need to understand the zoning and legal challenges related to tiny homes. So I think there are a number of considerations, not to mention the resale value on that and some of the difficulties there. So I would go slow, be careful before you move into this, but it very well could be that this could suit your needs. Cedric, thanks for calling today. Big thanks to my team today, Isaac here at NRB, Devin and Sandy and Taylor back home. Thanks for being along with us today. May the Lord bless you. Come back and join us next time on Faith and Finance. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.